giri govardhan jaya giri govardhan jayo nitai doyal jayo nimai sundar jayo sundar nimai jayo nitai doyal jayo nitai doyal jayo nimai sundar jayo sundar nimai jayo nitai doyal jaya gauranitai 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 jaya prabhupada jaya prabhupada jaya prabhupada srila prabhupada jaya prabhupada jaya prabhupada jaya prabhupada srila prabhupada jaya guru deva jaya guru deva jaya guru deva srila guru deva guru deva jaya guru deva jaya guru deva srila guru deva granth raj srimad bhagavatam ki jai srila prabhupada ki jai om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirayet Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hridantasto Hiya Badrani Tosto Hiya Badrani Vidunoti Surhusatam Vidunoti Surhusatam Nastaprayeshu abhadreshu, nastaprayeshu nityam bhagavata sevaya, bhagavati uttama sloke, uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naistiki. By regular attendance in classes on Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service of the personality of Godhead, whose praise with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable act. So we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Prescribed Duties for Mankind, Chapter 17, Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu, Text Number 33. Nahi asyasti priya kaschin asyasti priya kaschin nahi asyasti priya kaschin asyasti priya kaschin na priyah svaparopiva apriyah svaparopivah na priyah svaparopivah svaparopiva Atmatvat sarva bhutanam, Atmatvat sarva bhutanam, Atmatvat sarva bhutanam, sarva bhutanam, sarva bhuta priyoharihi, ta priyoharihi, sarva bhuta priyoharihi, nahi asyasti priyakaschin, Na priyaha svaparopivam Atmatvat sarvabhutanam Sarvabhuta priyo harihi Nahi asyasti priya kaschin nahi asyasti priya kaschin na priya swara swaparopiva atmatva sarvabhutanam sarvabhuta priyo harihi nahi asyasti priya kaschin na priya swaparopiva Atmatva sarvabhutanam sarvabhuta priyo harihi nahi asyasti priya kaschin na priya svaparopivam Atmatva sarva bhutanam sarva bhuta priya harihi. Word to word meaning by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Na, not, he, indeed, asya, of the Lord, asti, there is, priyaha, very dear, kaschit, anyone, na, nor, apriyaha, na dear, swa, own, paraha, other, api, even, va, or, atmatvat, due to being the soul of the soul, sarvabhutanam, of all living entities, sarvabhuta to all living entities, priyaha, very, very dear, harihi, Lord Hari. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. He holds no one as very dear and no one as inimical. He has no one for His own relative, and no one is alien to Him. He is actually the soul of the soul of all living entities. Thus He is the auspicious friend of all living beings and is very near and dear to all of them. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in His second feature is the super soul of all living entities. As oneself is extremely dear, the super self of the self is still more dear. No one can be the enemy of the friendly super self who is equal to everyone. Relationships of dearness or enmity between the Supreme Lord and the living beings are due to the intervention of the illusory energy. Because the three modes of material nature intervene between the Lord and the living beings, these different relationships appear. Actually, the living entity in his pure condition is always very near and dear to the Lord, and the Lord is dear to him. There is no question of partiality or enmity. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation once again. He holds no one as very dear and no one as inimical. He has no one for his own relative and no one is alien to him. He is actually the soul of the soul of all living entities. Thus he is the auspicious friend of all living beings and is very near and dear to all of them. So this is a section where we find Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu. So after Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu, what does Chitraketu do? He does not react to it. He humbly takes the curse, and while taking the curse, he interestingly makes a statement. That statement in 17.22, let me go back and if I can pull that out. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally disposed toward all living entities. Therefore, no one is very dear to him and no one is a great enemy for him. To one is his friend and no one is his relative. Being unattached to the material world, he has no affection for so-called happiness or hatred for so-called distress. The two terms happiness and distress are relative. Since the Lord is always happy, for him there is no question of distress. So we find that Chitraketu is made a similar statement to what Lord Shiva is telling Mother Parvati in this particular verse. That the Lord is equally disposed towards all the living entities. There is no one very dear to him, nor there is anyone enemy for him. Or no one is his friend, or no one is his relative. So you find the same being echoed in 6.17.33, which is the verse we are trying to discuss today. And then he makes another statement. Oh mother, you are now unnecessarily angry, but since all my happiness and distress are destined by my past activities, I do not plead to be excused or relieved from your curse. Although what I said is not wrong, please let whatever you think is wrong be pardoned. Now, this is an interesting statement, that whatever you think is wrong, be pardoned, although I have not done anything wrong. Now, why I picked up this particular verse is that I was in a similar situation once, and the other person abused me in the sense that you are wrong, so therefore you deserve my abuses. I said, I have not done anything wrong, but if you feel that I have done something wrong, please pardon me. And he became very furious. He said, it's not me I'm feeling wrong. You have actually done wrong. And then you're trying to cover up yourself. You better accept that you have done wrong. Otherwise, I'll continue to abuse you. So, that's the difference between Mother Parvati, an exalted personality, to an ordinary person. And this person was insisting that you have done wrong and therefore you should surrender, or you should accept it. So then I had the two choices: either I rebuke him or I accept whatever he's saying. So because of the relationship I had with him, I said I gave more importance to the relationship than to myself, and I said, well, I'm sorry, whatever has happened is happened, it's I'm sorry. And then he became quiet, he's cooled down. So therefore we need to be careful with whom we are talking, and then how the other person responds. So here Lord Shiva is trying to glorify both the Lord and the devotee. Sarva Bhuta Priyo Harihi, that Sarva Bhuta, to all the living entities, Priyaha, very, very dear, Hari, Lord Hari. So Lord Hari is very, very dear to all the living entities. And so also a pure devotee of the Lord, he is very, very dear to all the living entities, and therefore you find even a pure devotee of the Lord shows the same compassion, same mercy as that of the Lord. And we can see in the example of Srila Prabhupada himself, who at the age of 70, with hardly any money in his pocket, on the strength of his Guru Maharaj's instruction, he left the shores of India from a very comfortable zone of Vrindavan and then landed in the US. And now the history is known to everyone. So just as the Lord is compassionate, similarly his pure devotee is also very compassionate, very merciful and dear to all the living entities. Because they see, a pure devotee sees every living entity as part and parcel of Krishna and his suffering in the material world. And therefore, as a representative of Krishna, he tries to assist them, he tries to help them, he tries to extricate them from this material world. So in the previous verse, we find that Lord Shiva says that no one can understand the Supreme Lord. Why is that no one can understand the Supreme Lord? It's because of our thinking of that we are independent of the Lord due to the covering of false ego. So the false ego makes us feel as if I'm independent, and in that consciousness it's impossible to understand the Lord. And now this verse, Lord Shiva is continuing that he holds no one as very dear and no one as inimical. But equally we find that the Lord, when apparently appears to be partial towards devatas or the demigods and inimical towards the demons. We have that well-known pastime, anyone can remember, where Lord shows his apparently inimical and then is favoring the devatas. Which is that pastime? The Mohini. In the both the demons and the devatas, they churn the milk ocean, and from there comes the nectar. And when the nectar comes out, the nectar was taken, the nectar vessel was taken by the demons, and the devatas, they pray to the Lord, and the Lord appears in the form of Mohini, and he mesmerizes or she mesmerizes the demons, and therefore the demons part with the nectar, thinking that Mohini is going to distribute the nectar equally to everyone. But then we find that there Lord does not give nectar to the demons, and he gives only to the devatas. But here we find that Lord Shiva is saying he holds no one as very dear and no one as inimical. So how do we resolve that? So therefore Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his second feature is the super soul of all living entities. So Lord has three aspects: the impersonal form, the Paramatma, and the Bhagavan feature. So the Parma is the super soul. So Prabhupada is saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his second feature is the super soul of all living entities. As one's self is extremely dear, the super self of the self is still more dear. So what is very dear to us is our self. That is the, on one level, the body, and the other level, the soul. And to that soul, what is most dear? It is this the super soul. So the Prabhupada, as one self is extremely dear, the super self, the self, is still more dearer. No one can be the enemy of the friendly super self who is equal to everyone. So this, as super soul, the Lord is equal to everyone. But when Lord appeared as Mohini, he was not in the role of a super soul. He was there as a Bhagavan. And as Bhagavan, he is partial to his devotees. As Paramatma is equal, but as Bhagavan, he favors his devotees. Why? Because devotees are aligned with his plan. And what is the master plan of the Supreme Lord? The master plan, thank you, Prabhu. The master plan of the Supreme Lord is to take every living entity from this material world back to his abode, the spiritual world. And the devotees participate in that master plan. And therefore, the Lord favors the devotee. And as Paramatma, what are the aspects of Paramatma we find? There are five aspects of Paramatma spoken. Anyone remembers? Paramatma is here mentioned as being neutral. So what are the five aspects of Paramatma which Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? I think he talks about 13.23, I think. Upadrasta, Anumanta, cha. Yeah. So there are five aspects there. Upadrasta, he is overseer. Anumanta, that he is the permitter. He is Bharta, he is the master. He is Bhokta, he is the supreme enjoyer. And he is Maheshwara, he is the supreme lord. So these are the five aspects of Paramatma mentioned there. And as Paramatma, he is neutral to everyone. But as Bhagavan, he favors the devotee. Which is that verse which talks about the equality of Paramatma? Samoham sarvabhuteshu. Which is that verse? Samoham sarvabhuteshu, where it says that Lord says that I is equal to everyone, but that person who does service to him, he favors that person. When the mind is misled, I moved into some other verse. No one can be the enemy of the friendly super self who is equal to everyone. Relationships of dearness or enmity between the Supreme Lord and the living beings are due to the intervention of the illusory energy. So whatever the relationships we are thinking of in terms of friendship and enmity is because of the material energy, the Maya. And what is the role of Maya? Maya has got two roles. One is called the covering potency, and the other is called the throwing potency. Maya covers the soul with the material elements. So therefore, and that material elements includes the ahankar, which makes the soul feel as if he is this body, material body. Bhumi rapo nalo vayu kam mano buddhi revacha. So there we find that the elements cover the soul, and that is the covering potency of Maya. And the throwing potency of Maya is that she tries to alienate the soul from Krishna's shelter, because that's what the soul desires, or that's what the living jiva desires. Because of the previous verse, we have seen that Lord Shiva says, because of the independent nature, he thinks that he can enjoy independent of the Lord, and because of that consciousness, Maya Shakti favors, or she makes that arrangement so that the person feels that he is the enjoyer, independent of the Lord. So that is the throwing potency. But at the same time, the fact that we are in this material world is called the rectification process, that we need to correct ourselves, and hence Maya Shakti, as represented by Durga Devi, she has 10 arms, and 10 arms, she has got the 10 different weapons, and it is said that she pokes the living entity with those weapons in whichever direction you move, because it is said that these 10 hands represent the 10 directions. So therefore, whether you move the north, east, southwest, or the four corners, or the top, bottom, all the 10, whichever direction you move, she is poking till the person gets corrected. This is the role of Maya Shakti. Or we have that famous verse in Brahma Samhita. Anyone remembers about Durga Devi? Srishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shaktireka chaye vayasya bhuvanani bibharti durga ichchana roopam apiyasya sachestasesa govindamadi purusham tamaham abhichami. So therefore, there the role of Maya, or the Durga Devi, is to create, destroy the material energy, or this material world, and till we surrender to the Lord, she keeps poking us. Or the Lord has facilitated this material world in such a way that it is not a place for enjoyment, rather it's a place for correction. Once we get corrected, then we return back home, back to Godhead. So it is the rebellion individual soul who has that free will, and that free will is being exercised incorrectly, and because of that, the person is held in this material world. It's in one sense, it is we who are holding on to the material world because of the glitters we see in this world. And why is that? Because I'm trying to identify myself with this material world. I'm identifying with my body. I don't think that I'm a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. There's a story which is said in the Vedic circle that one disciple comes to his Gurudev and he says, "Can you please explain me the role of Maya? What does she do?" And the Guru says that when the time comes, I'll let you know what it is. At this stage, you may not understand. And the disciple was disappointed. He says that I've asked a question seeking clarification, but my Gurudev did not give the clarification. And that was a Gurukula-like environment, and therefore, in a Gurukula, a brahmachari, what does he do? He regularly goes to the forest and then brings the firewood. So on one such day, he went to the forest. He was bringing the cutting the firewood, and then he hears a distinct voice coming from one direction. "Save me, save me, save me." And the disciple was stunned. And because he found that, he heard that voice, it is his Gurudev's voice. And he became alarmed. How is that I'm hearing my Gurudev's voice in distress? And then he stops whatever activity, cutting the wood he was doing. He runs in that direction. And then there he finds that his Gurudev, he is hugging the tree. And then he says, "Save me, save me, save me." So what it is trying to say, that story, is that the Gurudev, the tree represents the material energy, and the Gurudev is hugging the material energy, and he says, "Save me, save me, save me." So similarly, we are also trying to hug the material energy, and then we feel that this material energy is giving me a lot of pleasure. Instead of getting ourselves, remaining as in a situation where, well, I'm not part of this material world, but I'm part and parcel of Krishna. So that's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. A devotee, he tries to mold his activities in such a way that he can constantly remember the Supreme Lord. So there are two terms which are used in this connection. One is called Shreyaha, the other is called Abhyudayaha. Abhyudaya is that the person, he is like trying to accomplish something in this material world. And because his nature is to accomplish something in the material world, he spends his entire energy in that direction. He wants to show to others he is something in this world. But that does not give him any satisfaction. Shreyaha is gives satisfaction to the heart. Because what does the person do in Shreya consciousness? The person gets up early in the morning, he does his chanting, he does his puja, and then after that, whatever the time is there, he takes care of his family and behaves in such a way that the necessities of life are met. After that, if something is available, then, well, he'll try to achieve it. But otherwise, it's not done at the expense of his Shreyaha. Whereas Abhyudaya, he is only after the accomplishment in the outside world. And therefore, when turbulences comes in life, what does he think? That God doesn't exist. Krishna doesn't exist. And this is an interesting part I had experienced when one day we were earlier staying in Dank Street. This incident happened about 1 year back when we were in Dank Street. Morning I was coming to temple, that was about 7:30 in the morning, and the bin collector, that van comes, and on in Albert Park we find that the driver is driving the truck, but equally there's another person who arranges the bins so that the truck can pick up the bin and unload onto its back. So possibly that person, he must have seen devotees here regularly, and he looked at me, he saw me with tilak, and I was the chanting beads, and he said, "You guys are chanting, but look at the way the whole world is. We are all suffering, and if God exists, why am I suffering? God doesn't exist." And he ran away. He did not even wait to hear me answer, because he was collecting the bins, because as the truck is moving, he has to move ahead of the truck and place the bins in order, and then for unloading. So therefore, this is what a person who does not have even the basic knowledge that he is not the body but the spirit soul, this is how he behaves. Because there's any suffering, it's because of the Lord. And hence, if God is all merciful, if God is truly the Supreme Father, why am I suffering? But whereas a devotee, when he suffers, he takes it as a token of reaction awarded by the Lord. Otherwise, he would have suffered much more. And one day, once again, I came out of the temple and a senior devotee saw me. He said that, "You don't seem to be okay." And he knows what has happened in my personal life, because I had confided to him about a huge financial loss. And suddenly, that Prabhu recited this verse. What is that verse? 10.88.8. Yasyaham anugrihanami harishyeta dhanam sanai tato dhanam tijanti asya svajana dukha dukkitam. The personality of Godhead said, "If I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man absorb him, abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after the another." So he said, whatever financial loss you have incurred, take it as Lord's mercy, because he has favored you. I said, okay, because he's a very senior devotee and was telling me, I took it, but internally I was feeling, I'm not so advanced, why would Lord do it that way to me? But at the same time, that gave me solace that Lord is there, he's taking care of us, he has the shelter, he has given us the shelter, and he's not a friend nor enemy to anyone. So therefore, whatever I'm experiencing, it's only because of my past deeds. So no one can be the enemy of the friendly super self who is equal to everyone. Relationships of DNS enmity between the Supreme Lord and the living beings are due to the intervention of the illusory energy. Because the three modes of material nature intervene between the Lord and the living beings, these different relationships appear. Because of the intervention of Maya Shakti or the material nature, we seem to be thinking someone is a friend, someone is a relative, someone is my enemy. But for a spirit soul, these relationships are not there. The spirit soul looks at only the Lord as the Supreme Father and the rest of the souls as part and parcel of Krishna, himself also part and parcel of Krishna. And when someone is part and parcel of the Lord, why would the Lord behave, show different relationships? It's like I have my hand, I do not behave in one way with one hand and behave another with another hand. All these are my parts, and therefore I look after them with equal affection. So similarly, we are part of parcel of Krishna, and therefore Lord looks at us with equal affection. It is not that he is envious, or he maintains enmity with one person and he maintains friendship with another person. Everyone is part and parcel. But to us, because we are in a duality, so therefore we think that Lord is friend to one person and he is enemy to the other person. So therefore Prabhupada said that actually the living entity in the pure condition is always very near and dear to the Lord. So on the spiritual platform, on the spirit soul, as a spirit soul, He is very dear to the Lord, and the Lord is equally dear to him. There is no question of partiality or enmity. So the concept of partiality or enmity comes only on the material platform, not on the spiritual platform. Yeah. Any question or any comment? Because I think today we had very short time.
In any of the other, with like Shishupal, obviously he was blaspheming Lord, like he was speaking against him. But others also, is there any where Lord has shown that he has given a second chance to any of the demons? Like obviously we know Putna was given the position of nurse.
Putana, he gives the Dhatri position.
But that was in the like spiritual world. What was like a second chance given to any examples?
He gives chance. The fact that from Shishupal's pastime, we learned that he has given 99 times the chance before he beheads him. So similarly, Lord gives everyone the opportunity, the chance. He takes his weapon only when his plan is being disturbed. In the sense, when the Brahminical culture is being destroyed, that's the time when he takes his weapon. So this we can see that demons, after they gain, they do so much of austerity. For what purpose? To gain some power, and that they feel like they want to be immortal. And the first step they do is destroy the Brahminical culture. That's the beginning of their destruction. So till the Brahminical culture is not touched, Lord does not say anything even to the demon. Because in Ramayana we have that famous pastime where Vibhishana is flying with his 4 or 5 assistants. He comes to he flies over the sea and then comes to Lord Rama. As he was coming towards Lord Rama, Sugriva, Angada, Jambavan, they all took up their weapons. They said that here the demon coming, and he's an enemy, and therefore he should be killed. But then Lord Rama looks at Hanuman, because Hanuman was in Lanka, and then Hanuman says, no, though he's having a demonic body, but actually he's a devotee. He's the only person in Lanka in whose house I could hear the holy name of the Lord. And therefore he welcomes. And later on, in a different conversation, Lord Rama says to, Sugriva, that even if at this stage Ravana comes and says, pardon me, whatever mistake I've done, then I'll excuse him. I'll condone him. And this expression of compassion is shown by a pure devotee of the Lord as well. And we can see that in Mahabharata, Yudhishthira Maharaj says to Duryodhan that in spite of being insulted, being sent to the forest, his wife, they tried to disrobe her, but still Yudhishthira Maharaj says that let Duryodhan come and bow down to me because he is my younger brother, and ask for the kingdom, I'll give it to him with pleasure. So therefore, Lord and his devotee, pure devotees, are highly compassionate. because they understand that we are not this body, we are the spirit soul. And as spirit soul, everyone is pure. It's only as in this verse, the Maya Shakti or the covering potency lays a cover in terms of the bodily elements and the Ahankar. And therefore, we try to think of the duality. And in that duality, we see one person as enemy and other person as a friend. But on the spiritual platform, these inebrieties are not there. Isn't it? Yes, Prabhu.
It says in this verse, no one is the Lord's own relative. But then at the same time, like Krishna has a mother, like Mother Yashoda. And it seems like, because there's only one Yashoda, you know, there can't be like another mother, you know what I mean? I mean, maybe they can, but I'm just trying to work out, you know, because Krishna does have his relative, his mother, Mother Yashoda, but then it says he doesn't have his own relatives as well here, you know what I mean?
We come back to the same part once again. As Paramatma, he is neutral. But as Bhagavan, he is playing his leela, pastimes. And as Bhagavan, he may have his friends as his... you can't say that he has got enemies, because on the spiritual platform there's nothing like enmity, but it's a, he's a rasavigraha. So therefore, all the mellows are there, and those mellows give him the pleasure. And as Krishna, when he descends, he is not in the form of Paramatma, he is in Bhagwan feature. As Bhagwan, he has got his relatives, he has his friends, he has his girlfriends, everyone, because that's the original relationship he maintains. In the spiritual world, he has got those relationships. But as Paramatma is a neutral person, he doesn't have those.
Question kind of was as well that it seems like certain, like Mother Yashoda, like I know Radharani isn't just like a regular jiva, it's like expansion, but is Mother Yashoda, she also a jiva or an expansion, because these are very intimate relationships with the Lord, you know. So yeah, that's my question as well.
So what is the question then?
Like, is Mother Yashoda, is she like a... She's not like a living entity like us. Is she an expansion of Krishna?
She's a Nitya Siddha. All the anyone who is in the intimate association of the Lord, they are all Nitya Siddhas. They are not ordinary living entities. I think if we go back to 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there are two abodes. One is the material abode, other is the spiritual abode. And equally, there are two types of living entities. There's one is a Nitya Siddhas, the other is a Nitya Baddhas. So we are all Nitya Baddhas in the material world. But whereas Mother Yashoda and other gopis and gopas who participate in his pastime, they are all Nitya Siddha. They are eternal associates of the Lord. So whenever Lord descends, they also descend to participate in his activities. Because he performs the leela. Why does he perform the leela? It's only to encourage us, to inspire us, that why are you languishing in this material world? This is not a place for you to live. As Prabhupada says, this is not a place for gentlemen to stay. This is, so therefore you come back. And we say that, no, I'm happy here. I think, if you have you seen the movie Mowgli, you should see that Mowgli movie. You have seen Prabhu Mowgli movie? So in that last scene, we find that the bear calls Mowgli, come back, come back, come back. And Mowgli, till then, he was brought up by the bear, but now he comes in contact with a human being, girl, and therefore... obviously, for a man, the man is attracted to rather than an animal. So therefore, he is going towards the girl, and therefore the animal, they think that now, well, he is no longer part of our kingdom. He is moving towards the man kingdom. So similarly, it says we should be here. So that's what our thinking is, that I'm feeling so happy. So why should I leave this place? As it is one sense, it's not just the material energy. We are catching hold of the material energy. As in that story, the guru is catching the tree and he says, save me, save me. So I'm holding on to the material energy. I'm not willing to leave it. And therefore, Krishna gives us enough troubles to make us detach from this material world. And hence he says it is dukkhalayam. It is not a place of happiness, but it's a place of misery. And the highest misery strikes a person when one's own dearest people leave the body. Till then, what is misery is not known in the material world. It's only that person he can experience. I've experienced the loss of my parents, both mother and father, and I know that agony, I know that pain, and the detachment that brings with that pain. One day, everyone experiences that. Till then, we feel, well, this place is so good, so comfortable. After the loss of dear ones, then people feel the loss of money is the next, which creates the turbulence in one's life. Have you experienced any of those? Which one? Okay. Whom did you lose? Oh, is it? You are so young. Yeah. That brings naturally detachment in us, especially when you lose parents. When we lose our parents, we feel this world is shallow, this world is empty. Till last year, for the last 17 years, every year I was going to India because my mother was there. But last year I lost my mother. And this year everyone was asking, are you not going to India? I said, there is no desire to go to India because the dear one for whose sake I was going to India, she is no longer there. Yeah, that creates a huge vacuum, and that vacuum can be filled only by spiritual consciousness. And therefore, we owe so much to Srila Prabhupada, who has given us the ultimate shelter in the form of Radha Vallabhai Melbourne Temple. I always think that but for Radha Vallabhai, I couldn't have stayed in Melbourne. I would have left long back to India. Actually, that's what I did. When I came 25 years back, not 25, 23 years back, I stayed here for 9 months. I felt totally empty and went back to Hyderabad. I said, this is not a place I'm not going to stay. But the turn of events were such that after 1 year, I came back. But otherwise, those 9 months when I was here, I felt this, why? In Hyderabad, maybe I saw the MCG stadium, greenery. But when I came here, there nothing I felt was greenery. The real greenery I saw only in Radha Vallabha. And then that gave me some solace, some inner peace I was longing for. I'm sure that's the experience of everyone coming to this temple. Otherwise, we won't be coming to temple morning, evening, and you won't be staying in ashram. And looks like you are heading from white dress to orange dress. Gradual. Okay. Okay, Brahma Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah, life teaches so many lessons. And if someone is alert, someone is fortunate, one will learn the lessons. Otherwise, it is like you dust yourself and you're back to normal. Again, the same old story.